any youth class tonight? I guess they're at the end of the semester or something. But Sister Greeley's going to come and teach us the part two of the Way of Holiness. Praise the Lord. And if you missed part one, it's on the website. Recorded.
Very good. Oh, recorded. I didn't even think about that. But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's see if we can get this going right. Yeah. Pray that there's no glitches. There was glitches earlier, and it's still doing. Yeah, we need a miracle, Lord. We need a miracle. We need a miracle, Lord. So praise the Lord for that. I'm sorry, I don't have any handouts tonight. I don't know, it just zipped out of my mind this time that I didn't have any handouts. But this is our the Way of Holiness. This is something that I'm going to be preaching or teaching on for pretty much the rest of the year. Whenever it's time for me to get up here, I'm going to be taking another lesson of this. This is a Bible study from about 1998, I think, is what we figured out. It's been around for a long time. Brother Ron Wooford is the one that wrote it and put it together, and we can get a lot out of this because it is a good lesson all the way through. Again, the Way of Holiness, Pastor spoke a few weeks ago about the straight gate to heaven and the broad way that leads to hell. And then I started this. Last week's lesson was on sin, how it came about, what it is. And I hope you all remember this part. The law of gravity, it compares to the law of sin. It's always there. It's always something that we have to deal with. We wish it would all go away, but God didn't make it that way. He made it for us to overcome it. And we are supposed to be the overcomers of that. So tonight we're going to talk about how do we overcome, some of the things that we have to do to overcome it. Again, there's 10 lessons to this, so there's a lot more to come. But tonight is another kind of foundational lesson to this. And we might as well go ahead and try to read through the scripture. I'm going to start at Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Oh, and by the way, you do need your Bibles tonight. I hope you have them. I do hope you have them. There should be some in the pews and stuff, too. So, let's see. Oh, whoa. That's the problem. It's going too quick. It jumps forward, and then I have to go back. So, we'll see how all this goes tonight. So, starting in Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" Oh, there we go again. Oh, dear. Did you do that? Yay! I was going to say, I kept trying to go back and I didn't do it. Yay, we'll work together, tag team here. "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." That's our goal, right? That's we want to be with Jesus. We want to have that resurrection. Okay, go back. It's just jumping where it's not supposed to go. You're trying to get it too? There we go. Quick. Let's everybody read it quick. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you so much, Lord, that you have called us, Lord Jesus, to be your people, my God. You are a holy God, and we are to be a holy people, Jesus. Help us, God, to understand more of you, Lord Jesus. God, that our lives would be shining for you, my God. Oh, we thank you, God, for what you've called us into, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. Lord, let the words that come forth from this mouth tonight, God, find a place in the hearts, Lord, oh, of your people. We thank you, God, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So you may be seated. So above in verses 1 and 2 of Romans chapter 6, it's talking about the Christian. Somebody that has started off with Jesus is not supposed to sin. We're supposed to keep striving for a new place in God. So it's obviously good not to sin. We all know that. And to sin, when one knows that it's wrong, it becomes a multiple sin. Because if you're going out to do something wrong, the wrong thing is the sin, but it's also that you're going after it that is a sin too. So we have to be really careful about that. Really, really careful where we are with that. In 1 John 2, verse 1. Let me see if we... Oh, here we go again. That went too far. John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. That's where you're going to have to pull out your own Bible, I guess, because I didn't put slides out for all of the scriptures. It would be way too many slides. So, it reads, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." An advocate. We do have an advocate. God hasn't, he doesn't walk around saying, telling us, don't sin, and then he's going, just when you do it, I'm going to whack you. That's not what he does. He does not do that. He cares for us. He helps us. He knows. He knows our weaknesses, but he also knows that he's given us power to overcome. And he is our advocate. An advocate means intercessor or consoler. He wants to console us when we've done something wrong. How about... I'm getting a repeat of raising kids, having the grandkids around, right? And it's just such a wonderful enlightenment because so many things of how we deal with our children is how God deals with us. You know, and yes, when our kids do wrong, yes, sometimes there's the punishment. Sometimes we just let them go because they've come to tell us what they've done wrong. And we love them so much. We have an intercessor, a consoler. He's there to help us. Now in that verse, in 1 John 2, 1, it says, if any man sin, if, two letters, big word, if, it's not when, it's not written as when, it's written as if. If it should happen, knowing that, yes, we are human, but it's not to the point of every time you sin, go ahead and go back to Jesus. It's not that when thing. It's a if. So the writer's saying that it is possible to live above sin. And then, of course, again, if we do sin, that we have that advocate. Thank the Lord. Oh, I've needed that a lot over the years. Thank you, Jesus. He's there. And then something else that we have to consider, that a Christian will not inherit eternal life if sin is left unrepented of. Yep. Can we get that slide? Number 6. There we go. It's going to be jumping all over the place. But anyway, there it is. A Christian will not inherit eternal life if sin is left unrepented of. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 9, get your Bible. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, now there's a whole list here. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, or that would be slanderers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. What do you think heaven is? Just another repeat of earth? That we have to deal with sin all over again? No! It's pure, it's holy, it's a place that God has made for us. It's not going to have all that junk in it anymore. And we're here on this earth preparing ourselves to be ready for that over there. Thank the Lord. So in that verse, there's, again, we had talked about it last week, about be not deceived. Don't be deceived. Don't let your thoughts lead you down a wrong path, away from what the Word of God says. So we can't be deceived. And of course, we can self-deceive ourselves so often. You know, so many people say, you know, well, God knows my heart. Oh, yes, He does. That's the thing you forget. He really does know your heart. He knows the bad stuff. He knows the good stuff. He knows everything in your heart. He knows our weaknesses and our faults. And a lot of the things that the Word calls sin, we just say, oh, it's just one of my problems that I deal with. It's like God wants us to overcome those things. He wants us to overcome that. It's not a thing to go back again and again and again to. God saved you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So I don't know, some of you may have heard it before, the once saved, always saved doctrine. It is not biblical. It really isn't. If God kicked out Lucifer out of heaven because of his rebellion, what is he going to do to us that he died for? He's not going back to the cross to die again. So it's not something that we can just take lightly. Yes, God wants us to make it. He loves us so much. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. But he also wants us to turn away from sin. Galatians, okay, slide 7. Let's see if we can get to that. Slide 7. I'll let you take over. 7. Galatians 5, verses 19, 20, and 21. Again, talking about the flesh and sin. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Again, a list. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which would be promiscuity. Idolatry, witchcraft. Now, that word was really interesting when I was looking that up, because in some versions, instead of witchcraft, it says drug use. Now, think about that, too, that if you are... which I was years ago. I was into the drugs, which just opens you up to unholy spirits. It opens up your spirit to so many other things. And that's why it's witchcraft. It opens you up not to the holiness of God. It opens you up to the unholiness of Satan and the world. In that list, Galatians 5, verse 20, there's also hatred, variance, which is rivalry. Boy, we're feeling that in our world today, aren't we? Rivalry. Emulations, jealousy, wrath, outbursts of anger, strife, seditions and heresies, that divisions and factions. If our world isn't going through that, right? Divisions and factions. There's also envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, or wild parties, and such like. I like that, such like. A lot of people say, well, it doesn't say that smoking's wrong in there. It does say such like. Such like is one of those things that we can put the things that people, that the Word doesn't specifically talk about. We're talking about principles here. We're talking about the principles of God. So, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, this is Paul talking to the Galatians. These are people that have come to God. They've repented. They've come to get baptized. They've been filled with the Holy Ghost. And they're dealing with the sin problem. And he's trying to show them the difference of these things. And he's telling, I've told you this before, and I'm going to tell you again, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Again, he's being real serious with them. You didn't start on this path to be the same. God has called you to be different. He's called you to give you a different life. Born again. Remember where you were when God called you. What situation you were in. The agony inside your heart. I need to change my life. I can't keep going this way anymore. Something's got to change. And that's what God is doing here. He's telling you, yes, you do have to change. So, again, the works of the flesh, no flesh is going to glory in his presence. That's in 1 Corinthians 1:29. And to consider to worship God while the flesh controls us becomes a vain attempt to reach God. I think that is slide 8. Yeah, slide 8. I don't know if you can get there. There. To worship God while the flesh controls us becomes a vain attempt to reach God. Again, I think I left off last week on our lesson about who you're going to walk with, right? How can two walk together except that they agree? If you're going in two different directions, you're not walking together. And that's what this is talking about. If you keep going with the flesh, then it's going to be vain to be talking about God. You're going back and forth all the time. It's not going to be good. Okay, so now you're saying, well, I'm not glorified yet. What do I do? Well, true, we live in the flesh, but we can't worship the flesh. That's the whole idea. Don't worship the flesh. Don't worship the world. The contents that we give to the Lord have to be our spirit. God's got to change our spirit. It's not going to be the carnal things of our flesh, of the world. It's going to be a spiritual connection to the Lord. And the only way to pour out the spiritual things is to be full of the Holy Ghost, dead to your carnal self. We have to put off the works of the flesh, put off the works of the flesh, and put on the fruit of the Spirit. It is an action. It's a verb. It's something that we have to do. You know, we would hope so much that as soon as we get the Holy Ghost, that's it. I'm an angel. Nothing else is going to bother me. That's not how it works. We have to put off our desires and take on God's desires. In Galatians, let's go to slide 9. What kind of bouncing around will it do? Hey, it worked. There we go. Walk in the Spirit. So to put off the works of the flesh, we're going to put on the fruit of the Spirit, and that's in Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23, where it says, put on the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And I wanted to put in there, too, that love isn't always a feeling. Do folks realize that? Love is not always a feeling. Love is an action. Love is a choice, something that you choose to do. Yes, you would hope that the love, the feelings would come afterward, but sometimes you have to just say, you know what? God loves you. I'm going to love you too. I don't have the feelings yet, but I love you because God loves you, and we're supposed to love everybody. So it's a choice. Remember that. Sometimes it's a choice. But then there's also, when you start making good choices towards God, you're going to have joy. You're going to have peace. And that long-suffering, break down long-suffering, compound word, right? Two words, long and suffering. Suffering. Sometimes we have to deal with things that go on for a long time. But how are we going to go through it? One of the definitions for long-suffering was uncomplaining. Think about that one. Uncomplaining. And then another fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. And that meekness isn't being a rug for everybody to walk all over. It's being patient and being submissive. Temperance. Temperance is that voluntary self-restraint, telling yourself, no, we can't have everything we want. We can't have it always the way that we would like it to be. And we have to tell ourselves no sometimes. And he goes on to say, against such there is no law. God has no law against how much of this that you can have, walking in the Spirit. And people are going to have a hard time pointing a finger at you. You are just too nice. And you're going to go, most people are going to go, okay, what's wrong with that? There's no law against being too nice, is it? Well, if we're walking in the Spirit, that's going to be one of our goals. Another thing is obeying His Word. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 6, it reads, "And hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but I have talked to some people, trying to talk to them about God, and they say things like, "It's okay, Jeanette, me and God have a thing together." And I know personally that they have never opened up the Word of God. That they have never, well, I can't say never, but very, very seldom through all of their life have they walked into a church to try to find out something about God. They make themselves a liar. You don't know Him. If you don't know what's in His Word, you don't know what God is all about. So we have to keep His Word. In verse 5 here, in 1 John chapter 2, "But whoso keepeth His Word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." This is how we're going to get perfected in God. "Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk." Walk in the Spirit, walk in His Word. "Even as He walked," as Jesus walked. So we have to obey His Word. We have to live what the Word says. We have to live it. We can't say that we love Him and then disobey Him. I don't know if you've ever heard of the author Dietrich Bonhoeffer. You should look it up. Write that down in your notes. Dietrich, he was a German man during World War II that fought against Hitler, kind of in the background of things. He was a Christian, and he ended up being martyred for standing for Christ and stuff. But in his writing, The Cost of Discipleship, he said, "Only he who believes obeys, and only he who obeys believes." Let me try to read that again. "Only he who believes obeys, and only he who obeys believes." So what are the two things that go together? Believing and obeying. You're going to do the two. Two of them go together. Let's go to slide 10. Yes. Oh, Dietrich. D-I-E-T-R-I-C-H. And the Bonhoeffer. B-O-N-H-O-E. F-F-E-R, Bonhoeffer. If you get close on Google, it'll probably give it to you there. You can look it up. Okay, so we're at 10. Slide 10. So if we sin, if we do, we have to repent. And that's when God forgives. Repentance is such a part of walking with God. When you realize, I mean, there's so much in here. How is anybody supposed to really, when you first start out with God, you don't know what's in here. So you come across something, go, "Oh, I didn't know." Well, now you know. Now you repent, and now you say, "God, help me to walk in that. Whatever it is that He showed you, help me to walk in that now." And then God's going to forgive you. In 1 John 1, verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This idea of repentance, it has to be, I mean, there's been so many people that have come to God. They started out with God. When they get baptized, I do not doubt at all that they have had some sort of relationship with God. And they, at that moment, do want to walk with God. They are making, to get into that baptismal is a big choice. That's a big step for anybody. So when they do that, I believe at that point, they're doing it with the right heart. I believe that. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But God, I believe they are doing that because they want to be right with God. Right, and we can't judge them exactly. It wouldn't be. So we have to believe that at that point. But now we do understand that once you come out of the baptismal, you still have to live. You still have to start making all these choices. You have to start doing that. And a lot of people, they don't realize that this repentance idea, what it says up there, it's a change of your mind, a change of your heart, and a change of your direction. Where you used to be going to the bars all the time, now you're going to choose to go to church. You're going to go to the clean places. You're going to do totally different of what you used to do. It's a change. It's repentance. It's a complete turning in yourself, in your spirit, in your mind, in your direction. And it's a true confession before God. As I was thinking on this today, and remembering the first time that I really came to repentance, because out in the world, people say they're sorry all the time, right? We hear it all the time. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But what's the difference between saying you're sorry and a true repentance? It's when you come to that realization that I have really hurt God by the direction that I've been going. I have hurt Him. I have hurt other people. I've hurt myself, yes, and a lot of people. It doesn't matter what I do because it's just me that it hurts. No, that is a lie. Don't deceive yourself. Do not deceive yourself. Your family, your coworkers, everyone around you is affected by that. So, we have this idea of repentance. We have to have a true repentant attitude toward God. I don't want to hurt you, Lord. I don't want to hurt those around me. And I certainly don't want to hurt myself anymore. So these are the things that repentance deals with. Okay, so going to slide 11. So what do we do? We're going to start out with some of the guidelines for overcoming sin. These are basic ones tonight. We're going to be going in more deeper as the lessons go on. But really, for somebody that has just come out of the water, what do they do? Well, it's going to be one day at a time. Isn't that how we live life, right? One day at a time, one decision at a time. We have to do it just one day at a time. We can't. The thing about that, though, is that you have to determine in your mind that I am going to keep on this walk. I am going to do it. I'm not turning back. Both my husband and I, when we came into this, it was like, there is no turning back. I have been out in the world. I was stomped and ruined by the world. Why would I want to go back to it? There's no sense to go back to it. I have no other place to go but to Jesus. I only have Him to go to. So it's going to be one day at a time, because you don't know what you're going to face every day, right? And in John chapter 5, starting at verse 14, this is a verse where Jesus had just healed this man that had been crippled for 38 years. And now he's healed. He's up and walking. And in John chapter 5, verse 14, It says that afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Oh, I'm so glad to see you're up and about. It's wonderful. And then he gives this warning. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Wow. A worse thing. A worse thing than being crippled for 38 years. That, again, it's like once you start on this walk, don't turn back. There is no reason to go back for anything. Don't go back. And then in John chapter 8, verse 11, this is about the woman that was caught in adultery. And, you know, they had this confrontation with all the Sadducees and Pharisees and all that. And they all walked away after Jesus said, you know, the one with no sin can cast the first stone. And they all left. And then Jesus turns to her and says, who are your accusers? And she says, no, there's no man here, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Isn't that wonderful, too? That we can take that. God doesn't want to condemn us. He doesn't want to look at our list of life and say, oh, you have to go to hell. No. He doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to condemn us. He doesn't want to condemn us in anything. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Again, this warning, don't go back to where you came from. So we have to take it one day at a time, 1 hour at a time sometimes. I mean, I remember when I first came into to this walk with the Lord, and I remember one certain day, things were just, bad things were happening all over, it seemed. And don't you know what was going on in my mind? I was swearing up a storm in my mind. And it was just, almost coming out of my mouth. And then I started crying. It's like, God, I don't want this in me anymore. I don't want to be like this. I just look up to the ceiling. Jesus, can't you see what the devil's trying to do to me? He's trying to make me fall. And then you got to go pray and go read the word. And it goes away. The most, when you keep resisting the devil, he will flee. He really will. And if you start bringing all your things, you know, start tattling on the devil, he will leave because God will get after him for sure. And, yeah, thank the Lord. So it is a process, folks. It's a process. It's something that you have to take one day at a time. And we commit every moment, every minute, every hour, every day, every week to him. We just have to be committed to him. Let's go to the next one. I think we're on 13. Yep. How else are we going to overcome this? Overcome that law of sin? It's through prayer. In Romans 8, verses 26 and 27, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes the intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Isn't that a wonderful promise? That is a promise. God has given us the Holy Ghost, so we have this promise here. And he that searcheth the hearts, oh, he knows our hearts, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He wants to help us. He wants to help us through our troubles, whatever it is. And that strength of prayer comes through the fact that the flesh can access, we can access the power of the Spirit, without which we will never overcome sin. Because God's Spirit makes intercession for it. Stir up the gift that's within you. If you got the Holy Ghost when you were in the baptismal, if you got the Holy Ghost weeks later, stir that up. Let that keep flowing through you, because God is going to continue to give you strength through that. It's a wonderful resource that we have. Because when you start praying in tongues, that means that you've totally given your spirit over to the Lord. God, whatever you want to say through me. And how do you know that He's not saying a prayer for you? When you're praying, He could be saying a prayer for you to strengthen you. He is interceding on your behalf. And He knows what you need to get through whatever sin that you're dealing with, whatever problem that you're dealing with, whatever hurt you're dealing with, whatever the situation, He knows what it is. So this overcoming of sin. I'm going to go back a little bit. And I wanted to share a little story talking about repentance and change of mind and heart and direction. When my husband and I, before we ever came to God, and we were a very worldly couple out in the world, and we had a bunch of worldly friends, and we did a lot of worldly parties, all that kind of stuff. Well, there was one guy that hung around quite a bit. And to me, when I think back on this, this is so sad because we were just older teenagers. And this was our life. And one of these guys, he might have been 21 or something like that, 20, very pretty young. And he was an alcoholic. He was bad. He was an alcoholic. Well, we started hearing rumors. I'm going to call him John. I can't remember what his name is, but John, we found out that he started going to church. And because we hadn't seen him for quite a while, it was, wow, what happened to John? We haven't seen him in a while. Yeah, he started going to this church, and it really seems like he's doing good. It's like, and to me, here I am out in the world, and I was excited for him. Said, that is wonderful. This guy, you know, knowing how bad of a drunk he was, it's like, this is great. I hope this works for him. This is really good. Well, a few weeks later, he shows up at one of our parties. And it's like, I asked him, John, what are you doing here? He goes, well, I thought you were going to church and I thought you had quit drinking. Oh, I'm not here to drink tonight. I'm not here to drink. I am here to, I'm going to be drinking Coke all night. I just wanted to come and see you, my friends and all that stuff, you know. And he was making opportunities to sin. Really, I should have saved this for my slide 16, but I wanted to get that in there about it coincides with not true repentance. He hadn't come to a true repentance. And when I saw him, I was sad again because it was like, oh, church didn't work for you. Oh. And that, folks, is how our life touches other people. That's why we have to walk strong in the Lord, too, because it does affect other people. What they think about God, what they think about the church, what they think about these things. I don't know whatever happened to him. I didn't hear much more about him, but I just wanted to put that little story in there about that. So through prayer, we have to go to God and ask Him for strength. The next one, slide 14, I'm sorry. Putting the word in your heart. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So a lot of you do know that one. It's God has separated us, right? If we want to be in God, then we have to put aside the parties. Put aside some people that might be leading you away. We have to delight ourselves in the Lord. Delight, meaning pleasure or things desired. Have a desire for the Lord. If you feel like your desire is waning, ask the Lord to help you with that. He wants you to do good. Whatever you feel like you're lacking in the Lord, ask Him for it. God, help me. You know, I've been having a hard time reading my Word. Please give me a hunger for the Word. I've been having a hard time with prayer. Lord, please give me a hunger for prayer. He wants to answer those kind of prayers. Meditating. What does it mean to meditate day and night? Meditate means to study, to ponder, to speak about God's Word. Study it. Take some time and break it down. You know, don't just constantly speed read through it. Stop sometimes. Maybe just take a chapter and think on it for a few days or for the week or something. Ponder it in your heart. What is the Word talking about? In Psalm 119, verse 11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Again, if you don't know what's in here, then you could be sinning against God. But if you know it, then you're not going to sin against God. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Hid, meaning to hoard. You're going to hoard it. You're going to reserve it. You're going to protect it. Whatever God has given you, you're going to protect it. And James chapter 1, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive the meekness, the ingrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Would you like me to say that again? In the New Living Testament translation, it says, So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word of God that has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. When you know more about God, you're going to have more power to resist the devil. You're going to have more power to resist your flesh. It's got power in here. This is the only book in the world that you not only read, but it reads you. It reads you, folks. If you've ever come across one of those scriptures and go, ooh, that's just what I needed today. Or, yeah, how many? There are pages in here that are full of tears because it was what I needed on that day. God gives you strength. God touches you in a mighty way when you get into the Word. Thank you, Jesus. So we have to lay aside the works of the flesh. And again, that where I had said earlier, love is an action. Well, laying aside is an action too. It's a verb, something that we have to do. Getting the Holy Ghost doesn't automatically take all the sin away from us. It's something that we have to work at. And that we have to be involved in the process to lay aside the things of the flesh and receive the word. Take it on to yourself. Let's go to slide 15. So in Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. He went to the cross once for all of humanity, for all the generations. It's not something that He's going to do every 100 years. It's not something that He's going to do every 1,000 years. He did it once for all of sin. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon or consider ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So those first those three verses, verse 9, 11, and 13. Know that Christ has already died once and resurrected. He's not going to die again for sin. He's taken care of the whole problem once and for all. Reckon meaning consider. Consider ourselves to be dead to sin. We have been born again. Born again. The old man has been passed away. New things. We say the verse for me, Sister Janie. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Thank you, Lord. So we have to consider ourselves dead to sin. And then we yield ourselves in verse 13. No longer should we yield ourselves to sin and unrighteousness, but unto God. We have to yield ourselves to God. Slide 16. Here again, do not feed the flesh or even present opportunities to sin. That story that I told about that guy, John, he was giving himself opportunities. Is it not going to slide 16? Can we get there? There we go. Yeah, I think that's 16. Do not feed the flesh. Do not feed the flesh or even present opportunities to sin. Let not your good be evil spoken of. Don't be in places that people could misconstrue the thing. Something as simple as years ago at the church down in Virginia, we started hearing rumors about this guy that when he was out at work, we saw him smoking. It's like, what? I don't believe it. I can't believe that that's true. You know, in the youth group, it was going around, and I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And it wasn't true. Come to find out, when they got closer, it was some sort of like a candy stick or something that he was chewing on. It was not a cigarette. It was something that he was chewing on. And how somebody misconstrued that and started a bad rumor or something. So certainly us as Christians, don't set yourself up for people to have rumors about you. That's one of the reasons why we're careful about separating ourselves from male and female and everything too. I try not to give rides to the guys to church or anything. Pastor doesn't give rides to the women by himself. As a group, we do that as a group and stuff. Because, and not that any of you folks would do that or anything, but if somebody out in the world sees something, I saw a pastor with somebody, that wasn't his wife. I wonder who that was. That starts rumors. We know how easy rumors start going and stuff. So these are types of things that we have to be careful about. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Because it's the Spirit that gives life. That's what we need to keep feeding, the Spirit. Going to slide 17, Galatians 5:24. Galatians 5:24 says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Of course, we're not going to go around taking knives, killing ourselves. That's not what it means. It's not a play on words, but you're, what's the word I'm thinking of? Comparison. Metaphor. Thank you. That's what I was thinking of. It's a metaphor. So, all the things in our flesh have to be put away. And then going to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, bring your thoughts into captivity. Again, so many times we just go on letting our brain just go along into some far rabbit hole or something. And then all of a sudden you get over here and you go, what am I thinking? what am I thinking about? And you have to bring it back in again. You take that into captivity. I can't think like that. You know, I can't. Again, that idea, who was pastor with? Don't think on that. Think something good. And that's what it says in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren. Oh, go back. We still had some on slide 17. There we go, at the very bottom. Think positive, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, don't think on and don't, certainly don't pass on something that you don't know is true. Ask somebody, find out the truth before you start saying anything or doing anything about it. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, which seems to be kind of hard in our world today. But again, if you get into the Word, if you let prayer help you, you're going to think on things that are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. There's a lot of wonderful things to think about, how good God is. Whatsoever things are of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Okay, I am not going to tell you. Go home tonight and make sure you watch a whole hour of news. That is going to be totally against Philippians 4:8 because it's just a whole bunch of negative stuff that's going to cause fear in you. It might be only a little bit. But it's there. It's a seed of fear. You know, talking about the accidents, talking about the horrible weather, talking about all these other things that are going on in the world. It causes us to fear. So think on things that are true and honest. Bring your thoughts into captivity. Don't give it opportunities to go the wrong way. So in all this, okay, now we're going to slide 18. Develop good habits in Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, before you came to God, you did whatever the world decided you to do, whatever you decided to do, and most of it was bad stuff. Oh, I can't even say most of it, but you know what I'm saying. It could lead you to some bad stuff. So even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness, our key word of this Bible study, holiness. Righteousness and holiness go together. Do not yield your members unto sin, yield them to God. And we know old habits do die hard, but they are going to die a whole lot easier if you replace them with good habits. Good habits are going to help you along the way. And our last slide for tonight. Understand that overcoming sin is a matter of the heart and the spirit. In Psalm chapter 51, verse 10. Now this is where David, he had true repentance in Psalm 51. And he definitely needed to repent because him being king, having so much influence with so many different people, and he really went off the deep end, committing adultery, and not only that, but killing the woman's husband, having him killed. That is really going off the deep end. There is so much to be said in that story that, you know, he opened himself up, made an opportunity for that sin. Then he had to cover it up. He wasn't repenting yet. I'm sorry. Okay, let's try to fix this up in his own self. And then when the prophet came to him and told him, you are the one. You have done so much wrong against God. And that's when he came to true repentance. And he cried out, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me." Create. Create is something that you make with nothing. He had no cleanness in his heart anymore. He had done so much wrong. He didn't have it there. But he's asking God, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit." I haven't had a right spirit all this time, through all of this. I need a right spirit to walk before you, God. I need to have true repentance. And he did at this time. This Psalm 51:10, "Create in me a clean heart." I hope you take that verse and memorize it. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." A lot of people, they do come to God, but they don't ask for that right spirit. They don't keep working at having a right spirit with God. And if the spirit is right, the heart's going to be right. And what do we talk about? Prayer, letting God minister to you to have the right spirit, to cleanse your heart, to help you that. Just way too many people fall back into sin because they don't repent, for one. And they don't allow God. They don't open up opportunities for God to minister to them, to help them, to stay on the right path. So again, going back to what does repentance do? It changes our mind, our heart, and our direction. We have to remember that. It changes our heart, our mind, our heart, and direction. So it is possible to live above sin. I remember the first time that my pastor down in Virginia, he said that. He asked the question, he goes, "Well, if you get up in the morning and the first hour you got up and you read your word and you prayed, and did you sin?" He's like, "No." "Okay, well, how about the second hour? Did you sin?" If you keep breaking it down an hour at a time all day long, it is possible to not sin. It trips you up, yes, when somebody cuts in front of you on the highway or something, or you have a bad phone call or something, you know, the kids go berserk on you or something like that. But even at those times, God has given us the power to be overcomers. He's given us power. The Bible, we've got the Word to stand on. We've got His Spirit. We've got the church. You can call, you know, tell somebody, "I'm really having a hard time today. Would you help me pray? Do something." You know, if you go ahead and stand with me, I am done. And Brother Andre, would you go to the first slide? Just leave that up there, the first slide. The way of holiness. That's what we're desiring. The way of holiness. Yes, the way of holiness just seems like a path at times, and kind of a lonely path sometimes. Sister Janie and I have talked about that a lot. It seems as the years go by, the path seems to get narrower and narrower. But that just means that we're getting closer and closer to God. We are getting closer and closer. Things just start falling away. They're not important anymore. When you start looking at Jesus, what's that song? "Turn your eyes on Jesus and the things of this world." Right, they just don't mean that much anymore. And that's the wonderful thing about the miracle of being born again. We were in unholiness, and now we are in holiness. Jesus gives us a new start to clean our heart, give us the right spirit by the Holy Ghost. And that's, it's Him. It's not us. He calls us to be holy, but He doesn't expect us to be holy by ourselves. Because we can't be holy by ourselves. We need Him. We need a holy God to make us. You don't get clean to get God. You get God to get clean, right? So many people say they don't want to come to church. "Oh, no, I got to fix some things before I come to church." No, the whole idea is to come to God to help, have His help in getting you cleaned up. Be ye holy, for I am holy, not in ourselves, but in the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's just go ahead and pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for the opportunity to be a child of God. Oh, my Jesus, that you called each and every one of us, God, out of a life of sin, Lord Jesus, and you're calling us to be holy, my God. I love you and I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for giving me a new life, Lord Jesus. Oh, a new life, my God. Oh, to be born again and to have strength and power in you, God. Oh, none of us deserves you, Lord Jesus. None of us deserves the Holy Ghost. None of us deserves your word. But God, you've given it to us as a gift that we've never earned, a gift that we've refused for so many times. And yet you want to give us strength and power to be overcomers, Lord Jesus. I love you. I thank you, my God. Bless your people abundantly, my Jesus. Oh, you're so good. You're so wonderful, God. I love you. I love you. I praise you, Jesus. Oh, glory and honor to you. Strengthen your people, God. Strengthen your people. Oh, God, give us a new heart, new eyes, new spirit, Lord Jesus. God, to walk in you and your holiness, Lord. I love you. I thank you, my God, for everything that you do, everything that you do. Oh, I praise you, Jesus. Thank you all for being here. Isn't it nice to have Pastor home? You guys didn't miss him. Well, Monday night, those of you that were here on Monday night, you missed him, but I missed him. I'm glad that he's back. So I just say good night to you all. Thanks for being here and walk in the Spirit. That's the whole idea. Walk in the Spirit in Jesus' name.